Good afternoon. So that was a really great presentation. I don't know if I can follow up so eloquently, so I'll try. So my work was related to a qualitative analysis that we completed. So I'll first kind of talk about the intervention itself and then the qualitative basis after that. So first I wanted to give some acknowledgments. The co-principal investigators at SLU, at the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, actually one of the major PI peoples, Dr. Catherine Matthews, is here to support, so that's been great. And then research from the SEED grant to be able to provide incentives to the participants, both in the first intervention, the intervention in and of itself, and then additionally the qualitative analysis that happened thereafter. I have no whatever disclosure things to, I keep forgetting about that. I have none of that. So kind of just to start off, laying kind of foundational groundwork, almost 3 in 5 women of reproductive age are now considered either obese or overweight. There are risks for a number of medical complications during pregnancy and childbirth related to that. And so what we know is excessive weight gain in pregnancy leads to increased weight retention after delivery and is significant contributor to rising obesity and metabolic disease in general. Preventing excessive gestational gain, weight gain could reduce adverse pregnancy outcomes and improve long-term health of mothers and offspring. And so to kind of start off this part is the original study that is called, from what I'll call from now on, is the LIFE study. What it stands for is Lifestyle Intervention for Forever, Health Weight Gain for Pregnancy and Birth. And so that is kind of the first part of the intervention. Kind of to give you a background of the original LIFE study, it was targeting obese women with BMI greater than 30 and had the opportunity to take part in a lifestyle intervention geared towards their individual needs. They worked towards the goal weight of maintenance of plus or minus 10 pounds during their pregnancy. 30 participants were recruited for the pilot and feasibility study. Using random assignment, 15 women were enrolled in the LIFE program and then 15 into the routine care. 3 study testing visits were scheduled for all participants at the start of the program, then again during their 34 to 36 weeks of gestation, and then again at 12 weeks after delivering. The original LIFE study had 2 components, the nutritional component and the physical component. The nutritional component, the goal of it was to learn about healthy eating habits and to create positive change in behavior that would be maintained during pregnancy and after delivery. The LIFE program focused on healthy eating habits, such as lowering fat and sugar intake, increasing fruit and vegetables, lowering low-fat dairy products. All LIFE subjects met with the dietitian during their initial visit, and they met every 2 to 4 weeks during their pregnancy. These meetings were meant to incorporate into their standard obstetric care appointments that they would have already. The second component that I mentioned is the physical activity part. So that was meant to be supporting by an exercise kit that was provided so that pregnant women could exercise safely in the comfort of their own home. The idea was to encourage kind of moderate to intense physical activity at a level of safety that they felt appropriate. An individual physical activity plan was developed with each participant that followed in line with the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the ACOG, guidelines for exercise in pregnancy. And so they had a physiologist, a person there to be able to help them work through that physical, as well as a dietitian on the nutrition perspective. So once that intervention, that pilot study was completed, about 1.5 years, 1 year later, we decided to do a qualitative study, which is kind of the foundation of this particular presentation. And that qualitative interview was really meant to help with understanding the barriers and enablers of how people in the primary intervention group were able to be a part of the program, understanding those perspectives and what made it difficult and what they found helpful with the program, both in the intervention group but also in the routine care group. So of the 15 LIFE intervention group members enrolled in the study, 10 completed the study. Four met the goal, weight gain goal of 10 or plus or minus 10 pounds, and four stayed within the Institute of Medicine, the IOM weight gain guideline of 11 to 20 pounds, and then four gained more than the 20 pound IOM guideline. Of the 10 subjects who completed the study in regards to the intervention group, four kept logs and verified exercise in order to obtain incentives that consisted of gift cards. So of the 30 who had initially been a part of the original life study, so the 15 in the intervention group and the 15 in the routine care, we were able to recruit, after asking all of them through phone calls, mail orders and things like that, seven interviews were conducted. Four of them were the intervention group participants, and then three were in the routine care. And so the interviews were formally transcribed, and the transcripts were analyzed using open coding. And so once the interview content had been categorized by nodes, then I read through each node for dominant themes. The qualitative interview itself was semi-structured in nature. So the results specifically, first I'm going to look at the intervention group. So life study participants is what the intervention group was called. There are three themes that emerged from the life participants regarding weight management in particular: sleeping habits, energy level, and feelings of hunger. Specifically, women stated that the second trimester was the most demanding in terms of their overall health, which I don't think is particularly shocking. The women mentioned fatigue having been difficult to be able to maintain the exercise component of the intervention group that they had been part of before. The women also say that exercise diary and seeing the dietitian every 2 weeks was an effective way to maintain motivation, and that it helped focus on new exercise regimens if needed. And so what they kind of noticed is that when they exercised and if they were able to maintain that, that they also saw a kind of more regular cyclical way of sleeping, which I think makes sense in what we've seen in literature and general physiology. Overall, women say that the increase in hunger from the first to second trimester was particularly noticeable, but given that they had been a part of the program and it had assisted in, quote, handling a bit better, as a lot of the women had said. One participant stated, actually, that people in her workplace had taken note of her losing weight despite her pregnancy, and so that it was a boost in her self-confidence and self-esteem. The women say that logging their exercise was particularly helpful in being able to see what they had accomplished, and that it was also increased their self-confidence, self-esteem, and promoted healthy weight management, which again follows into line of those dominant themes that I had mentioned before. All women stated of the intervention group that the accountability from the dietitian in the intervention study was another source of positive support. In regards to personal behavioral beliefs, which is part of the health behavior model in public health, all four women spoke extensively of how they were able to eat, aware of basic healthy eating habits, and had access to fitness centers, but that the accountability of the social support in particular, from the dietitian to perhaps their own support in their family, was really what helped them stay on track and complete the assigned food log and physical log. They said that the additional information that they received from the dietitian was particularly helpful, and that they felt that they had gained a significant amount of knowledge in regards to healthy eating and during pregnancy as well, and that it allowed them to be a little bit more mindful about what they were eating during their pregnancy. In regards to the results for the routine care group, two themes emerged from the participants in that group, and that was sleeping habits and physical fitness were the kind of in the open coding what came as a dominant theme. All the women say that they had fatigue, but they also say that their sleeping patterns spanned over longer amounts of time. So we saw here that napping was 4 to 6 hours, and that sleeping consisted of going home maybe after work and then sleeping until the next day. And so that was specifically something that came up over and over again in the routine care group. Some barriers to behavioral beliefs, social support, and mental health themes were also dominant themes in the routine group. So more specifically, there was for the women who did in the routine group, they said that either the father was no longer a picture due to incarceration, divorce, or no communication at all. The women reported that this was difficult during their time of pregnancy. One woman stated that she had tried to stop smoking during her pregnancy, but that it was a battle to do so. For one of the women, the pregnancy was unexpected, and she would go into bouts of depression due to the lack of support that she felt she didn't have, and to be able to understand how to maintain a healthy work-life balance. So kind of a common theme there was the limitation of the social support in the routine care group that they had. Generally, in the qualitative kind of analysis that was completed, there are always limitations in every study that you do. Generally, women who were enrolled in the original study, the intervention group, they did not have a formal assessment of readiness to be a part of it. So there wasn't any assessment pretest to say, yes, you should be in here or not. They came in their own will. There was an attrition of just the number of participants that were enrolled and who completed. So as I mentioned, there were 30 participants, but 10 who completed the study in and of itself. In the qualitative study piece of it, there were limitations in regards to child care services being able to be available to them to engage in the qualitative study. So we recognize that that was something that was a limitation, and that perhaps the bias, that this may not be generalizable to other settings because it was on a medical campus, it was within obstetric care appointments, and not specifically maybe in a community clinic or something along those lines that may allow for a different outcome. Some strengths that we did see from first the original study was supportive professional team members. So what we did notice was that in all of the women in the interviews that were provided, that they did specifically say how helpful that support that they were having from people who understood what nutrition and physical health would look like, and that they had not really had that information before, and especially during a time of pregnancy where that feels very different for them. And in the qualitative start, we were able to do studies that related to in-person interviews, but also working to get people on the phone as well. Basically, more because perhaps they couldn't come in because of child care services, or for whatever reason they may not have the ability to come in, but then being able to offer phone interviews to be able to do that. And really being able to emphasize the multiple reason that can account for a specific behavior, right? So the ideographic causation, that understanding of where people are coming from, and that there are multiple reasons, but being able to find dominant themes as found in the qualitative analysis to see like where then future interventions could lie to really be able to focus further into that. So in regards to the life participants, so the intervention group, they did express increased knowledge and energy and perceived behavioral control over appropriate nutrition and physical activity. So we did see that people who were able to complete the study and who did find it to be helpful, and that they did see a change in their personal understanding of physical health and nutrition and how that influences their pregnancy and after their pregnancy. So I think understanding that this essential information is important to inform development on a larger scale intervention as well. And that is my presentation. Mm-hmm.